You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Okay, this week's podcasts are focusing on managers and coaches. I'm Allison Footer. I am here in person, live in person. This is so exciting, with Chris Haft, who covers the Giants for MLB.com. It's always so much fun, Chris, to go to spring training because I get to like see you guys and actually look at you when I'm having a conversation with you, which is great. So the theme of this podcast is obviously managers, and it's not like Bruce Bochy is a big surprise or somebody that we don't know very well. He's obviously probably headed for the Hall of Fame someday, but let's just reiterate what it is that makes him so special and so relatable.
I think you said, you kind of caught it with your last word there, relatable. He can relate to the players. He's kind of like a Teddy Roosevelt type. He speaks softly, but he carries a big stick. Doesn't hang out that much in the clubhouse, but when he goes in there, you know, people pay attention. You know, he gets people's attention. I think his physical stature helps. Mm-hmm. Now, let's face it, he's, you know, pretty big guy.
Has a very large head.
Which he doesn't mind joking about. But he also does not have a very large ego. Mm-hmm. And I think being a mediocre player almost helped him because, again, that word relatable. He can relate to just about everybody on the club.
And so, I mean, he seems like he's not really, he doesn't show a lot of emotion in the dugout. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, he has managed 3 World Series teams, and he really doesn't lose it that much. I mean, you can't really read him when he's in the dugout.
He doesn't lose it that much in the dugout. Once in a while, he'll show a little emotion. He'll throw down his hat here and there, but he's not Tom Lasorda, you know, going with histrionics and all that.
Right.
And he's part of the reason he doesn't lose it is because he's concentrating so much on what's going on out there. I mean, one of the coaches told me once that Boch noticed in between innings the opposing catcher was having trouble throwing a second base. Here's the Giants who, steal a base once every blue moon, But so Boch chose that opportunity to, they ran the catcher ragged. I'm not saying he's the only manager who would do those things, but let's just say not a whole lot gets past him.
They say catchers make the best managers because you're automatically smart. Like, if you've had a long career as a manager or as a catcher, you're a very intelligent guy. Really and truly, I say this a lot. There's no such thing as a stupid catcher in the big leagues because you would never be able to remember everything that you have to remember and to control everything that you have to control. Does that then translate into managing?
I think it does. You see the whole field. I mean, just as from a physical standpoint or a geographical standpoint, mm-hmm. you see the whole field. Mm-hmm. Everything's in front of you. And yes, you do have to be alert. You take a pitch off, so to speak. Nolan Ryan's fastball is going to be crashing into your jaw. He caught those kinds of guys. Nolan Ryan, G.R. Richard. He caught outstanding pitchers during his career. And he, I think he knew in the back of his mind he wanted to manage, and so he started stashing up, started just storing knowledge like a squirrel stores up nuts in his cheek.
And he's really good with you guys, not that anybody cares except for us, but I do, but I'm always fascinated by the way that managers handle the media, and he seems to maybe even enjoy talking to you guys a little bit.
Well, he would never admit it. Getting along in the media, it is a pain, but it's part of the job description. And if a manager wants to make himself miserable doing it, he will. And it's going to be to his detriment because he has to do it during the regular season twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Boch tries to have fun with it when he can. he doesn't go buddy-buddy right. on you. But he'll make a joke. He'll maybe say, isn't that right, Chris, or something like that, just to keep you on your toes too, but also bring you into the conversation. There have been times he's told jokes, usually on the road when it's just the beat, the visiting, the traveling beat writers. Mm-hmm. He'll tell us jokes, many of which I can't repeat. And
Oh, come on.
but he can be really funny. He's got a great sense of humor. And so, he's that makes him pleasant to be around. And I don't think there's anything, don't get me wrong here, I don't think there's anything calculating about it at all. But one little spin-off effect is that, let's face it, we're human. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're supposed to be impartial. And yeah, we shouldn't be affected by what Boach says, but we're probably not going to rip him. You know?
Right.
When things go bad.
Yeah, you kind of get a little bit of leeway there.
Kind of builds that for himself. Yeah, let's admit it.
Okay, so now I'm looking at, or I was 2 seconds ago, Jeff Kent, which I was pleasantly surprised to see him. And you said that there's kind of an all-star lineup of spring training instructors that are here. So tell me, give me the names. That's pretty awesome.
Let's see if I think literally they've all been all-stars. Rich Aurelia, Randy Wynn, Rob Nen, Jeff Kent. They've been here or have been here. I know I'm leaving some people out, but Sean Dunstan's here all the time. The Giants like having these people come in. I think it reinforces the tradition, and the tradition with which this franchise is very proud of. Let's face it, and it has the added benefit of these guys were good players.
Right.
They've got something to say to the minor leaguers, and even some major league veterans. So it has multiple benefits bringing these guys in.
These guys have all, like the names you just named, correct me if I'm wrong, but they've all played in a World Series, correct?
And that's another one. You know, Randy Wynn didn't.
Not,
but
yeah. The other ones were on that 0-2 team, I would think.
Oh,
right?
Sure, and 0-2 then, or, yeah. Nobody from the 2010 team yet,
no,
but
not yet.
That'll be the next influx, the guys who are here, you know, for this, you know, these three World Series teams.
I can imagine that this would be like, I mean, how could you not want to be here? Like, they want to bring you in for X amount of days. You come to Scottsdale, you see your old buddies, you're around, like, one of the premier franchises. I mean, I would imagine everyone can carve out a few days in March to help out.
Oh, yeah, they do. They come back, and, you know, and for good measure, you know, Willie Mays comes in, Gaylord Perry comes in, and this year the Giants have a new center fielder, Denard Span. And I've seen him already pick Willie's brain a few times, you know, and that's really neat, you know. And as I was saying to you off the air just a few minutes ago, one of the the coaches who has the most to offer, but is probably more anonymous, is Joe Amalfitano, who had a 10-year playing career. He wasn't a big star like the guys we mentioned, but the Giants coaches get a lot from him because Joe Amalfitano was an outstanding third base coach with the Dodgers and a couple other teams, but mainly with the Dodgers. And he gives the younger coaches and even the current coaches, you know, third base coaching tips, managing tips, you know, for the minor league managers. He's just a fount of information and wisdom.
So you were ticking off the things that he was a witness to, like
this is just a partial list. This is a story I wrote last spring, actually, or April or May. He was there he was at the Polo Grounds because he was a bonus baby, not playing, not getting off the bench much, for Willie Mays' famous catch in Game 1 of the 1954 World Series. He was a reserve infielder with the Giants in 1961 on a Sunday in Milwaukee when Willie was kind of sick, and so he wanted a lighter bat, and he used Joe Amalfitano's bat and proceeded to hit 4 home runs in a single game.
Wow.
And then Joe was later in his career, he became a, you know, handy pinch hitter, but he wasn't handy enough. He made the next to last out in Sandy Koufax's perfect game against the Cubs in 1965. And for good measure, he was the first guy to pat Kirk Gibson on the fanny after Kirk Gibson hit that famous home run in Game 1 of the 1988 World Series. So that doesn't count being on, I believe he was on the inaugural 62 Houston Astros team.
Wow.
And he witnessed there have been other things he's witnessed, and you know, I wasn't able to get to in that story. But it's a with along with the more you know, recent celebrities. It's just it's an interesting group, fascinating group of coaches.
If he was on that 62 team, then he also witnessed some 3-foot-long mosquitoes at Colt Stadium.
Yeah, maybe that's why he didn't want to talk about them.
Very nice. Okay, Chris, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the spring.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.